Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay York. How are you? What's going on?
I feel like I have no news. I've been traveling for the past 3 weekends. I was in New York last weekend, which was great.
Where was my call? What? Kay York City? Return to the city?
We had to lay low because I was there for a friend's birthday, and it's like a few of us. I have like 3-4 friends from high school total. None of them live in New York, but they wanted to go to New York. And so we were like, okay, let's do this. So I wasn't going to have time to make the rounds. So I laid pretty low.
I get it. Listen, you know, Taylor Swift does the same type of, you know, media blackout that you did.
The whole media blackout. What's going on with you?
What did you do in the city? Kay, you all, you know, who better? I mean, Kay's weekend, a segment on this show sometimes. Is there a hot spot that you enjoyed for a friend's weekend in New York? Mm. I'm sure the listeners mm-hmm. here, I get, you know, I meet the listeners on the road. I see them every weekend. I get a Kay shout out or 5 or 7 or 10. You know, people come up to me, they go, just tell Kay I say hello. So this is my chance to tell you they say hello. But like, they want to know, what does Kay do? So any specific, is there one spot over this party of a weekend where you had friends visiting the city? This isn't even like, you know, locals. These were people, these are high school friends that came in. So where did you, is there any place that sticks out during your media blackout? Usually you shout people out.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but it was sort of like I wasn't announcing it to my friends. Like, I wasn't texting my friends in New York being like, hey, I'm in the city, let's get together.
So I guess I didn't make it to the close friends stories.
No, they were out there, but we did like, so we went to this place, STK. I feel
STK,
like you've heard of STK.
Has been around.
Yeah.
Come on. That's been around since the Sex and the City days.
Right.
Downtown or midtown?
Downtown.
Of course.
And I have made friends with a lot of the people who work at like STK corporate. And so I got me and my friends a nice comped meal.
Ooh, I mean, in New York City, that's one night out of the way. You're the friend of the year.
You know, they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. It truly was great. They were like bringing shots, and it's very much one of those places where, I mean, you know, it's like a steakhouse, but then it turns very, like, not a club is the wrong word. Club's the wrong word, but it turns up at night. There's a DJ.
Well, you're in the heart of meatpacking, which old becomes young again. Meatpacking, when I was moving to the city, was like, what kind of loser would go out and meatpacking? This is 15 years ago. Now, meatpacking is back. It is, I mean, Hudson. Well, meatpacking, and then you make your way down Hudson. That's like, there's a lock. It's almost like Bourbon Street now. I mean, I live down here, but I it does ring young to me.
It is very young because you have like the standard, the beer garden, Brass Monkey,
right?
You know,
all
the
hot spots,
the Gansevoort, all those down there.
Soho House right around the corner.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, the New York one.
You know, I've never been to a Soho House in New York.
What? New York City? Come on. This is why you got to call me next time you're here. I'll bring you as
my guest.
Do you
have a membership? Oh.
I don't want to, listen, I'm not trying to tell people, you know, J-Train's weekend.
But listen, people who have Soho House memberships, you get calls from people being like, hey, can you get me in? Or like, how many people can you get in?
I went yesterday and had coffee while I took my notes for the Bachelor episode that happened last night. Mm-hmm. In you know, listen, it's no SDK, it's no dancing on the tables, but it's my own version.
Did you watch the show on your computer and take notes?
I do that. I watch Soho House? Yeah, I've done that many times. My Soho House experience is very different than most, I think.
I would love to be the person sitting next to you or like near you at Soho House, watching you watch The Bachelor with a note, a pen and paper.
There's someone has seen that. They're like, what's,
I need to know what's going through that. Like,
what's wrong with that guy? Yeah. He really likes The Bachelor. So what did you think of last night's episode?
I think there is, okay, first of all, I love the episode because we're getting back into the drama, but man, that Sydney girl is confused.
She's tough. She seems to be in her own world. I think when you, I don't know, she's from, there's a lot of like assumptions I can make based on like the background. Like you're from Rhode Island, you're from Newport. Where's she from? Someone sent me a message like, oh, she's great. She's from Rhode Island, moved to Atlanta, opened her own vintage shop. And then she has tattoos on her fingers. I'm like, I feel like I know what's going on here. Like, I don't feel like you're based in reality. And it seemed like last night that kind of showed.
Okay, so Sydney is, I'm pulling her up. She's 28, from Rhode Island, yes.
Yeah, but now lives in Atlanta, I think. And like opening a vintage shop, to me, I don't know. There's something, there's a personality trait there that I'm sure there's wonderful people who open vintage shops, but I don't know. It just, to me, it kind of showed, last night was what I would assume that person would be, just like not kind of connected to other people, but thinking you are, like thinking you get it when you really don't. I don't know. Like, I kind of assume she's the type of person that would be like, tell you weird, like the liberal version of why she didn't get vaccinated. You know,
right.
I remember it was during the pandemic. I was out at the West Side Highway. I'm not trying to make any political statement here, but I was at the West Side Highway and I'm working out on the, I used to call it the rom-com field, because there's this field on the West Side Highway that's like, looks like it's from a scene in a rom-com. It looks like where the loser friend would tell the main character, like, oh my God, you got to find a date, you know, whatever. I'd be the loser friend. And I'll never forget it. There was like these guys that there's different characters. There's like fitness people who are like training people. There's people just doing the regular workout. And then pretty much every day at certain times, there were these like yoga people that would come. And they were like, they would come in like a loincloth. And like they were super in shape, but like skinny in shape. You know, like.
Yeah.
I'm sure in LA you see this type a lot. And they had like.
That's all that exists here.
Right. They were bohemian looking. And I remember overhearing them. And it was like during the time of like the vaccines getting rolled out. And like, I'm normal Joe Jim, center of the bell curve. And I think like with a lot of this stuff, I've become like, just tell me what to do so we can keep it moving. That was kind of my
Please.
Vibe. You know, like I'm not going to like. You know, I'm not wearing a mask today, but like, you know, I would, you know, you tell me you want it on. All right, what am I going to do?
I'll put it on. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you.
Right, I'm not like, I'm follow the leader in this scenario, and I'm putting my, you know, my hands in doctors and experts. This guy, I remember him talking with all the yogis, and they were like, who would ever put that? And I overheard them like, who would ever put, and these people look like the most liberal types, like, you know, they were like the epitome of cartoonish liberal. And they were like, they're like, put that in your body. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think of ayahuasca. I only put natural stuff in my body, asshole. And I was and I remember having like a moment being like, oh, this is way more complicated than right, left, right. This is like, there's like 17 factions that we're gonna like the emotional, and that's what made me think of Sydney last night. I was like, oh, this is a person who rubs a crystal on her cheek and is like, yeah, that's how I take care of the flu, and then we'll look down on you if you're like wait, that seems pretty ridiculous. It just seemed like she wasn't connected to anything.
She's way off. The words she was using. I mean,
yeah.
Usually when we have that kind of situation and when somebody's complaining about, you know, another person, the other girls will be like, yeah, they kind of agree or seeing the situation. But every girl was like, what is she talking about?
Right. It did. You're totally right. And none of them like what it was interesting the way they described Maria. They were like Maria. They talked about Maria like she was an entertaining, cartoonish person.
Yes.
And they didn't defend Sydney in the way that she's like, I just don't even like that person. And yeah. That was kind of it was a very different vibe because none of them were like, they all did the thing where they repeat the person's name. They're like, Maria's going to be Maria. And usually when people do that, that means like they're indefensible, but I like them. You know, mm-hmm. Like they used to do it with Manny Ramirez, who played for the Boston Red Sox, one of the best hitters of all time. They would call it Manny being Manny. To me, that's someone who's so good at baseball that I can't really be mad at their antics. I think Maria's in the same vein where it's like Maria's so much a character, but I like her. So I'm just going to, Maria's just going to be bold. Yeah, right. And with Sydney, who just didn't get it, Sydney really just a very unlikable, you know, vibe.
I mean, Maria even said when she was talking to Joey, I really like, she's clearly self-aware. And when she said, I thought I would be received better. She clearly knows she has a personality, but she thought the girls would see that and it would be more chill. Like she would be the funny one or she would, like it would be okay.
It seems like that's the case for everyone else but Sydney. And because mm-hmm. here's the thing, we are so far away from the thing Sydney's mad about that it's actually gotten crazy. Like Sydney, if we need to be reminded, is angry that Maria wasn't caring for Medina's feelings on being older.
No.
Which, at its base, fine, but that's Medina's issue to play out. Not Sydney's. And
not
Medina
Sydney's.
Like was literally, I mean, we're gonna get into it in the recap, but like Medina couldn't want to be more far away from this thing.
Yeah, the girl that you're defending is not even speaking up. So there's, you know, there's an issue there.
Right. So yes, and then you can just tell, like, this is Sydney doesn't like Maria at its
no.
You know, like that's just what it is. Like, I just don't like you. I don't like that other people like you. I don't like that you're this character and your main character and I am not. It feels very much like Sydney kind of believes she should be the queen bee of this house in a certain, if I'm to make any more assumptions. I've made a lot of assumptions. Don't get me wrong.
No, but I mean, that's what it is. She just simply doesn't like her and at this point will do anything to remove her from the equation.
Absolutely. It's gotten personal. So what did you call this episode?
So I called this episode the Tortured Girlfriends Department.
Okay.
So I went, Taylor Swift just announced her new album, the Tortured Poets Department. So I was like, you know what? Let's play off this.
I like
these
it.
Women are in distress right now.
They really like Joey.
I mean, how can you not? It's actually, but Joey really likes them.
Yeah, I mean that your name of the episode plays into my name of the episode.
Yeah.
Which is Joe the Pro. I had Joe is a pro. I think Joe the Pro is a better ring to it.
I
think he's one of the best bachelors I've ever seen. If
yes.
I'm to be, his emotional intelligence is like off the charts. His ability to ask questions that are interesting and thoughtful, that it shows that he like cares, is like wild. The way he interacted with, you know, people being, his explanation of like why he makes decisions that he does with the talent show. He's just really good at this.
He's really good at it.
Show.
I mean, even the confrontation part when he's talking to Maria And, you know, she's telling him, she's like, did she even give you, did she give you specific examples and this and that? He goes, you know, you're right. I should have asked more questions.
Right. You know, man, saying like, he's wrong.
He
yeah,
knew
yeah.
It. He just knew how to handle this. So it's really interesting.
He's great with everything. He's fun when he needs to be fun. He's thoughtful when he needs to be thoughtful. It just seems like a really like honest dude. And I don't know how this plays out for the show, but like up to this point, if we're at this point in, you know, everyone makes mistakes, everyone handles these things differently. Like, listen, I can't tell you how Joe is going to handle Fantasy Suites because I don't know how I would even handle such a thing.
Yeah, I would never know.
But for like right now, I'm thoroughly impressed just by how he does the tight wire act so far. Right?
He's nailing it. I really cannot believe every time I see him with a new girl, he has a new compliment, like a personalized compliment to give each and every girl.
Maria came in hot, and I, you know, there's no one that it feels like even when he's giving people, you know, it does feel like he could be with a lot of different people that are on this season. So
I see him with every time I see him with a new person and he's talking about them, I was like, oh, they're the one.
Right.
And then I'm so confused because it makes me want to see, I'm like, I need him to not like someone. I need to know what it looks like when he's not into someone because I'm confused. I don't know. I'm just so thrown.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
So we get into this episode and we start with the Mrs. Right competition, which is basically going to be a pageant held at a theater in LA, and we have the women of Askin are in the house. We have April, Susan,
Kathy. But apparently there's drama with Askin.
What's the drama?
And I guess they were all supposed to go on a trip to the Bahamas or something or other.
Sponsor and, content.
Right. And April was unable to go because of like something happened, whether it was at the house. Like she was like, I can't go anymore, blah, blah, blah.
She had a doctor's appointment.
Right. She was with.
Women that age have doctor's appointments every 15 minutes. Yeah.
Every 15. Like, I'm going to the doctor. All right. Yeah. Are you coming back?
Right.
And she was willing to, you know, pay for her part of the trip because it was like, a pretty last minute cancellation or whatever. But I guess the other women were really mad about it. And there was like some sort of fight. So I think April is out of asking.
Where did you read this story? The Boca Times?
Somebody was telling me this out loud. And then somebody also sent me something on Instagram about it.
I just felt like I was talking to my mom. Like, this is like the report I get from my mom. Like, April had to go to the doctor. We already had this trip planned. I don't know. How could you just bail on the last second? Who doesn't know they have a doctor's appointment? Like, this is every phone call with my mom.
Yeah. This is the drama.
We're going on a cruise. We had a weekend. They gave us a voucher.
So asking is just skin now, I think.
Skin. So, well, we wish her the best for Askin. I was happy to see them.
Me too.
Just, you know, a breath of fresh air. I love when they introduce him. He's like, there's more women coming. And they're like, to stay. And then they show up and they're like, oh, thank God. You know, like it was like they thought it was like a whole new crop of, you know, girls that were going to enter the house.
This is what I wanted from the Golden Bachelor women, though. I want them to make appearances on these shows. I like seeing them. This is exactly what
we wanted to taste.
I wanted to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the one thing. Okay. So why were they dressed as if they were like at prom at this like pageant? Like, did they not tell them what the outfits should be? Didn't they seem overdressed? Like they were like,
it was a little overdressed, especially because all of the other girls were making their costumes.
Right. Like, I don't know. It should have been like more jeans and a t-shirt type of vibe. I don't know why they were in like prom dresses.
But I think that's what older women do. Like, that's all they know is they don't really have in-between clothes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess not.
You know, they have like, it's either my mom, when we go out to dinner, she's like, I take her out in LA and she's like, are we going somewhere really nice? And she's right. Like, I need to bring, you know, the sparkly shirt or whatever. And I'm like, it's not that deep. So I think they only have extremes. Yeah,
that because it was extreme. It looked like they were supervising prom. Like it was a little bit like the teachers chaperones. They're the chaperones. So they do this pageant. The women are not excited to hear it's a pageant, not as excited as Kathy was to announce it's a pageant. It was interesting to see Kathy be like, it's a pageant. And like to her, it was like not a thing. And to them, it's like, wait a minute, have we gone back in time? Like it just felt like very like they old school, like in a way that they weren't happy about.
It was strange. And also like it felt very, all of it was kind of awkward. The pageant made me feel awkward, like every single section of it. When Edwina started singing a cappella.
Edwina writing her own song. And again, this is like where you start to see that Sydney's not liked. Like Edwina writing a song and singing it like seriously. Like if you like that person, you're like, good for Edwina. If you don't like that person, you're like, what the fuck is Edwina doing? And it seemed like everyone liked Edwina. You know, like everyone like was cheering for this song to work out. It's like being on a date. If the guy, you know, I saw you posted the guy, Nick Lachey, the Cincinnati Prince, the Prince of Cincinnati.
I'm sick.
Nick Lachey did this like singing on the couch thing and you posted like, you know, the guy pulling out the guitar
at the party.
On the date, like at the party.
The worst guy you know finding the guitar at the party. Like it literally was the scene from Barbie where the Kens were singing. Like I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Well, if like Nick Lachey like is more punchline than he is beloved, you know, figure from our past at this point. Also based on the like Love is Blind stuff, like, you know, like where like you're not really sure why they're there. They never really nail it on Love is Blind. So like,
no,
we come in being like, what's Nick Lachey doing? And then it's like he sings and you're like, ugh, like, but if it's someone you like and enjoy and then they pull out a guitar, I know the joke is that they're always a loser. But like, I think that's like, I think it's dependent on, it's like, creepy if you're unattracted, you know, cool if you're not, if you're attracted.
I just don't want to know that you have this talent until we're farther into the relationship. I don't need to know.
I get, but I guess to relate it to Edwina, like, she got such support. Like, she did. Edwina's was awkward. Yes. To say hers wasn't awkward is, like, you'd have to be insane.
But I think comparatively, Sydney's, that sent me into, a full spiral.
Sydney saying confidently, I did pageants. And then the bow on top of her head, which, like, didn't help anything. And then the cheer was like, I folded like a cardboard box that had been opened and needed to be put into the cardboard box room at your apartment building. Like, I literally fell into myself like a dying star. I was so embarrassed for Sydney and everyone in the room. Like, and again, like, Maria, this is where you kind of see she owns the house. Like, nothing is worse than having someone in the room who hates you watching you be vulnerable. And right. Maria isn't giving an inch. She's got, you know, one of the Philly sisters on her arm, like her sidekick. Like, we ain't smiling at this shit. No man, you know, Sydney didn't have a chance with her. And then that kind of, when it goes bad, it goes horrible. You know, like, the whole crowd.
Real bad.
I mean, she's lucky my mom isn't in Askin, because if my mom was in the crowd, she would have been loudly saying, what's she doing? What is this? Is this supposed to be good? Does she mean for this to be bad? Like, you'd hear my mom narrating, like, not knowing what was going on, but loudly asking questions that were too honest to be asked.
Right.
Why is the bow on her head? Is she trying to be a 10-year-old girl? Is this a 10-year-old girl impersonation? She would be just doing that the whole time.
It's
she is so lucky. It was strange. It was tough. The Askin women didn't like it. Joey gives like a clap, I guess. And then other than that, it's just Lexi, I guess. So Lexi comes up and she's like, I'm told I'm the best kisser. And they do a makeout in front of the crowd. And to me, like, I what did you think of that?
I was going to ask you, did that look like a good kiss to you? Because I know I have an opinion.
I thought it looked strong, and it looked like she came in with gusto, which to any guy, when a woman makes a move like that, it's hot. Like, okay. I think, like, when you get into the driver's seat, you know, it's like a role switch up of sorts. She came in hot.
All right.
She's like, I'm going to kiss you. She goes for it. They go for this, like, heated. And it did look very, like, you know.
There was a lot of, like, pressure. Like, his head was going back because she was going into him. And I'm like, all
right.
Right. But I was like, come
something
up for
hot
air.
About that. Yeah, no. This was because right. I think especially considering the circumstance, like, you have to show my kiss is like, this is the talent and I have to lead this kiss. You know, this isn't like Spider-Man grabbing, you know, being upside down and grabbing you for a soft kiss. This is, I'm going to fucking win this competition.
Yeah.
And this is the talent I have. And they do get together and, you know, they decide who's the winner and Lexi wins. I understood why she won. I mean, someone played the trumpet. I can understand why, like, taking the initiative is kind of rated higher than I did a flip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And she got a good question at the beginning. Like, Joey's, what's your favorite or the most attractive part about Joey? And she's like, his heart. And so she was set up for success.
She went lowbrow, highbrow. She kind of did a little mix. She went highbrow with the answer because all the answers to the asking questions were like, you know, they're like, what do you think if he can't get it up? And they're like, we'll bring some fucking dildos and put it up his nose. And you're like, cool. And, like,
yeah.
and then Lexi's like, I saw his heart today. And then she comes in with the physical lowbrow. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. She nailed it. I'm impressed. I was not expecting Lexi. And also, fun fact that I recently found out, Lexi was an employee at Gap and left Gap to go do this show.
Really? So yeah. Have you ever come across each other?
I don't think so. I do not remember her. She might have been in like a big meeting or something maybe we had, but a lot of the people that I worked with were telling me about it. I'm like, wait, what?
She seems like she's in the running for this thing. You know, she's like, she's a big part of the show. I mean, later there's people, you know, it is interesting that it seems as though The Bachelor keeps putting together group dates with like, let me put together the problem people, and then we'll have an easier one. And this seems to be the problem people.
The problem people, 100%. Let's put them somewhere where I don't have to interact with them directly.
Right.
And they can just deal with each other.
So they go to the nighttime date and there's issue taken that the kiss beat out actual talents. And which is like, I don't understand. So how they don't understand that this is like who?
A dating show.
Right. And it's like, I guess I could give it to someone who did like a perfect flip, or like I could give it to someone that like put themselves out there in an uncomfortable way. And like that was, Joey explains that so perfectly. Like when he, you know, Maria comes over and is like about to like take issue. Maria does to me sounds like whenever she like gets into like wanting to like give her angle on things, it always sounds like a really like a podcast I wouldn't be interested in.
Right.
Like she always sounds like a female empowerment podcast I see on TikTok. That I'm like, who would ever listen to this garbage? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because it's never the women that you should actually be listening to.
Right. And she says a lot of like buzzy things and she's good looking and like, and she says it with confidence. But like even Joey's like for her not to understand, she's like the kiss, like if that's what you, she goes, she, first of all, she says she's an introvert. I don't think she knows the meaning of that word.
She has no idea what that word means.
She was literally in a crop sweater and, you know, short skirt and did a costume change in the middle of her last date into lingerie. So, like, I don't know what introvert is going on there. But she, like, she'll use this buzzy language and she's like, if that's what you were going to reward. And it's like, and, like, Joey's answer is perfect. He's just like. He goes, I know a lot of people were worried, oh, I don't have a talent. He's like, but you are talented. That flip, oh my God. Like, he goes into specific.
I know. He is just, I don't get it. Joey is, he just gets it. He knows how to talk to women.
Right. He's great. And so then Medina comes over and he's like trying to get to the bottom of the drama.
But like, she mentions just something about how she felt about because he's talking to her and is like, you know, how are you feeling? Da, da, da. And she brings up the situation where she kind of felt bad. But I think she was just trying to tell him, this is how I'm feeling. Not trying to rat anybody out, not trying to like do the whole tattletale thing. But then he dives into it and was like, wait, you need to tell me. I need to know what's going on.
Right.
And she's like, wait, like this is being blown out of proportion. And it is.
I mean, at that point, if I'm Medina, I'm mad at Sydney.
Yeah.
Because Medina should have the choice to go, yeah, I'm going to have it out with Maria or not. And Sydney has now made Medina's time get taken over by this subject she doesn't want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Of course she felt bullied. It wasn't, I don't blame her for feeling that way. Like Maria kind of came at her, but it's like, also like, I think Medina saw like, this isn't a person I really want to like get involved with because Maria, it's like Maria's seems like the type where it's like, agree with me or let's keep talking about it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, she
Sydney,
keeps approaching her the entire every time. She's like, can we just talk about this?
Right.
She's like, I want to stay away. She wants to stay as far away from it as possible.
Right. And Medina doesn't seem as equipped as Maria is at, you know, like coming at her. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't seem like she's from this, like, let me go tussle with this person, you know, vibe. She's just no. like, you can tell, like Medina's just like, there's like a thousand things I would have said for Medina, but she can't, she is not really the type to say it. And I think that's why Sydney, like, takes up her fight, because she's like, no, you're not doing this good enough. And I hate Maria. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then she says she's feeling bullied. They come back to, you know, Joey comes back to the group. He gives his rose to Kelsey, who Kelsey and Lexi might be the same person.
I know. I get them confused a lot.
Yes.
But he seems to really like Kelsey from the things that he's been saying about her, the compliments that he chooses to give her. I think she's a front runner.
I think so, too.
But I also don't know her at all.
She's from New Orleans, right? She's the New Orleans chick. I don't know her at all, but she seems to pop up a lot. Like, mm-hmm. he definitely has a connection with her. So then he leaves, and he basically makes this statement about bullying. I love when bullying comes up on The Bachelor. It is, to me, the most hilarious thing. They talk about bullying, the word bullying, as if it's a racial slur of some sort.
I know.
Like, the way they react to it is like, and I don't think there's a woman, I don't think there's a person in America who feels they were not bullied if you put them to, have you ever been bullied? Like,
yes.
And it feels as though, because coming on this show, you have to have like a struggle to talk about so that you can get camera mm-hmm. time, that they like play up their bullying or having been bullied to the point of like it's a cause and effect thing. Like if you know that like a struggle or a plight gets featured or gets more credibility in this space, you are going to play up whatever plight and struggle you might have.
Yeah.
And they all, and this is every season. This isn't just this season, but like the whole idea of like Maria's like, I've been bullied. It's like, that's something I just don't care to hear about. I don't know about
no,
you.
No, I'm so disinterested, because it's like, yeah, what you said, we've all been, I don't know anybody that probably hasn't.
Or believes they haven't. You know, like right. I I'm sitting here today being like, I don't know. You know, like I would never say to someone, oh, you don't understand the bullying I dealt with. Like,
right.
To say, like, was I made fun of? Yeah, of course. I think everyone has. Like, I don't know. I just don't. Like, anyone who talks about the amount they were bullied, unless you were, like, forced out of your school, like, I really don't give a shit.
No.
I don't. So, you know, so Joey mentions the bullying, and then he leaves, and then there's this whole confrontation between Sydney and Maria, and it's just seemingly Sydney doesn't like Maria, and Maria is just not the type to like let something go.
She just won't let it go. Won't let it go. And Sydney, you know, her getting up and leaving, she goes, well, I'm gonna go because I don't feel like I need to sit here and just be like attacked, whatever she's saying. If anybody wants to come with me, you can. Nobody goes. Right. Not one person gets up. Not even Medina.
Right. Medina's very much like, you know, in that moment felt like, you know, like a sidekick in Mean Girls. Like, just like.
Yeah.
Just like not. I don't know. It was.
She's Sydney, like, this is your drama now at this point.
Right.
I'm staying
and
out of it.
Sydney's just not. I mean, Maria's still likable. That's the thing. Sydney's not. So we go to the one-on-one. Jen from Miami, which K-York,
scared.
Nobody respects Miami more than K-York City.
I respect it.
What do you think of them going surfing? Like, would you be okay with that date? Like, I think it was a good date, but like, you do your hair, you do your makeup. aren't you like a little annoyed or no?
Yes, immediately. I literally said to my roommate, Chelsea, I go, oh, you would have lost me here. You would have lost me at the surfing because one, the water in LA is simply not warm.
Okay,
we are not
this
in Miami.
Is something. Gotcha.
Like, we're wearing wetsuits.
Mm.
That I'm not getting into the water when I'm required to wear like, you know, an inch thick wetsuit.
Right. They seem to have fun. I mean, like they do a lot of making out. They're making out in the wetsuit. I can't mm-hmm. imagine how much Joey's, you know, penis is chafing against the wetsuit while rubbing against her. That was my biggest fear.
Just like fully raw. The
Oy.
Yeah.
Felt for Joey's penis
there.
He needed
an ointment after that.
Jen and him go to a date after. She shares about her parents not, you know, getting along and fighting. Mm-hmm. It sounded pretty serious.
Yeah.
She says she doesn't talk to her dad. It was all, you know, it was a nice date. Like, it seems like they connected.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She seems really, like, sweet. I don't really have a connection with her, I feel. I'm not drawn to her like I am with the other girls. But let me tell you what, that drone show?
Pretty cool.
Wow.
You know, that's like a new thing. That's like that's happening more and more. That, like, I think it's trying to take over the space of fireworks. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think they did one over the city of Boston once, and it was like this huge deal. Like, it was like it's like a huge thing.
They're crazy looking. Like, the drone shows are crazy, and they're expensive.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people have to program these. Those are like hundreds of drones all just like forming and taking up the sky like that. Wow.
Can you imagine looking out your window and it says like, Jen, will you take this rose? And you're like, what is going on over there? You know, like,
and then you are like, if I looked out my window and saw the Bachelor logo just like floating in the sky, I would be like, oh, am I alive? Am I dead?
Right.
Did I die?
What's going on right now? Yeah. I just imagine like Jen, will you take this rose? And then some woman yells out her window, spoiler alert. You know, like just getting mad, like giving away the show.
True.
So then they go on the next group date and it's a tennis group date. You knew this was coming.
Yeah.
It was going to be a tennis group date. James Blake and Pam Shriver, the celebs there, you know, They're great. I mean, James Blake, I've watched his matches in the past. Pam Shriver, I know the name.
You know,
I know
that.
She's a legend. I was aware of their legend, you know. But I mean, to me, the tennis date was fine. Like, it mm-hmm. wasn't, like, it was expected. I think getting them in costumes and in teams of two was fun, but not as fun as they thought I was going to have.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Like, I think they thought I was going to be like, oh, my God.
So
come
silly.
Come on, lobster and butter, those go together. Like, I think it's like none of, and like Jesse comes out, he's like, wait till you see what we've got. And I was like, I don't know. There was a better way to play this where it's like, there's like a, like if you played like horse, like some version of tennis horse.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's, you know, a good, like, idea.
Right, like, I don't know if you've ever taken a tennis lesson. Have you, like, you know, they'll play like these, like,
no
games. You know, I don't know. I remember like when I was like eight, I took a tennis lesson, like, and be like play horse or something
that
like that
in like high school or something. Like we had to play tennis at some point.
Right, I don't know. I feel like there's a tennis pro out there who has a fun game for kids that they could have played that would have been more competition.
Right.
Than what we, or a more viewable competition, because to me it was just like a bunch of women fucking around on a tennis court. Like, I didn't really.
They blew all the budget on the drone show.
Right.
the budget was spent. We were like, go to the dollar store, get these costumes.
Yeah.
And let's just throw something together.
So then they go to the nighttime date, which is at like a, you know, an upscale trailer park that they do every now and again. And there's really not a lot that happens other than Caitlin takes Joey aside and says that she has a family curse where all the women in her family are single. And doesn't Caitlin kind of look like like the lead of a Disney movie about a family curse where all the women are kept single?
100%. She looks very like doughy, like dough eyes, like very just soft.
Right.
She looks just like that.
Like I imagine her living in the Princess Bride house or Princess Diaries house where it's like,
yeah.
I live in San Francisco and I live in an old firehouse and I take the pole down from my attic bedroom and mom's cursed by that witch who says we won't get our vaginas touched unless we sing to the moon at dawn. Like, you know, like it did.
Yeah.
She has that feeling.
They're like eyelashes. Right. Really big eyelash. I couldn't stop staring at them. I was like, oh my God.
You feel like she's like one makeover away from being like a total babe.
Yeah.
Like her hair's a little frizzy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. So that happens. She talks about her curse, which is a funny way to look at it. I do think it's funny. And
it is.
Rachel gets her earring stuck on his sweater, which is like, I mean, whatever. Rachel and him do seem to have a connection.
They have a connection. I love Rachel and Joey together. Like, she's one of my front runners. I really like Rachel. She seems just like normal. Nothing seems like
produced
about her. Right.
She definitely doesn't seem like someone who would go on this show. It feels very much like she was like, yeah, I don't know how I, like, she walked up to the set and was like, yeah, I got a month off. I'll do this shit.
Yeah,
like,
sure. Let's do it. See
yeah, she doesn't. She does seem cool. And then Daisy readdresses the cochlear implant. Someone said I was pronouncing it wrong and that I should educate myself, which is like kind of a weird way to, you know, come at someone who's just saying the name of the implant.
Yeah, we're just saying, like,
yeah, we're just talking here.
We're just talking. Like, yeah, the whole Chipotle Chipotle thing or whatever. Like, you should educate yourself.
Yeah, listen, I apologize to the community. I thought it was when she says, "Do you want to touch it?" I laughed harder than I've laughed in a lot.
I can't believe.
I loved it. I just like the like to me. That's the fun way to talk about it. Like, to me, like, and I understand, like, this is where I lose people because her talking about the cochlear implant, I totally understand why she would be self-conscious. I totally understand why she would, like, not, you know, want to talk about it. And
yeah,
it's a part of her life. And again, all the stuff that led to it, she had all these tests. She had to go to Germany. She had Lyme disease.
It was a lot. Like, yeah.
It was a lot. The other thing is like, okay, now we have to get to know each other. Like,
I feel like she's making it her whole personality. Even on just on like social media, she posts about a lot, which is great, obviously, like trying to educate people. But there's no separation at this point, which obviously that is who she is. But I feel like there's more to her than that. And we're not getting any of that.
Right. I just like maybe the want to touch it was like the end of it, you know, like was like, OK, now we can move on. Like,
we got to move on.
Just the way she said it is like it sounded very weirdly sexual, like want to touch it, you know, like I don't know. It was very funny to me.
OK,
sure. Yeah. OK. Like, so then they get to the end of the rose. The day Caitlin gets the rose. And yeah, I mean, like, but they didn't seem like Caitlin got the rose, but it didn't seem like a love connection to me.
No, it wasn't. It was just like a thanks for opening up. Bye. They don't have anything. I can see him not having anything with her.
We come back to the house and there's going to be no cocktail party. Jesse says we're going to have a pool party sponsored by KFC, brought to you by KFC. KFC in
wild.
The house. KFC gets a huge, huge sponsored moment.
I mean, when they all walked out, if Jesse was like, all right, we're going to have a pool party and we're going to have KFC, I'd be like, what?
Right. It's a weird combo.
And then
combo.
You want me to get into a swimsuit?
Right, right. Here's your potato salad.
And be on national TV? Please.
It did look delicious. I am a KFC fan. The fries, I've always been a fan of the KFC fries, underrated fry. Yeah, I don't know. I would have been like, they'd be like, where's Jared? I'd be like, he's shitting his pants in the bathroom. Like he just had
from like the bowl that he just got.
Right. He just had a mac and cheese fried chicken bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
But listen. So then the drama kind of heats up. Sydney pulls Joey aside and basically uses a lot of buzzwords to try and make herself as much the victim as possible. Like Sydney explained what happened with Maria, I don't remember it happening that way, and it happened 20 minutes before. Like, I don't see that.
We watched a different show. Like, right. I don't know what, using the word verbally abusive.
He said verbally abusive. She's used the word verbal. You could just tell she said verbally, you know, just even using the word verbal, like, you know what you're doing.
Yeah,
like,
you know what you're doing.
And she is annoying. Like, it's just like, she wanted to make sure she won this battle, goes to Joey. Mm-hmm. Joey pulls Maria aside. Maria's like, I don't know what's going on here. Just like, and you could see Maria, like, the way she, like, looked off into the distance, it was like, I'm about to beat the shit out of this bitch.
Yeah,
like,
I was like, oh, she's about to Bad Girls Club right now. Right. I was like, this is not...
Right, because Maria has that in her. Like, that idea of, like, no, I'm going to go right the fuck up to this chick and tell her what the fuck is going on. Like, it is very, like, I would say... Sydney's annoying to me because she's passive aggressive, and Maria is like cool to me because she's aggressive aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, how do you even defend yourself when those kind of words are being used? Like, what do you say?
Right.
Like, there's no, I wasn't. It's literally your words against his and the words he was using and the words he was fed were out of this world.
And here's the difference between Sydney and Maria. Sydney goes up and is just like, I just want to let you know that there's someone that is, like, bullying and making me feel and, all, you know, and verbally just coming at me.
Attacking.
And, you know, and attacking and all that stuff. All this stuff that, like, leads you to water and hopes the horse drinks from it. Maria looks at Joey and says, if you like her, you can't like me. Mm-hmm. So make a fucking decision, dude. And yeah. You're like, wow, that is these are two sides of a similar coin. It's like, Maria's like, you make a choice, you want the goods, and Maria is dressed. I mean, Maria came prepared for a pool party. She is very much like the woman your dad married who's you went to high school with. It's like, yeah, it is Meredith Blake. It is like, and she's walking around the pool, she's got a strut. She's got a whole air of confidence to her that is, like, very attractive to me watching at home. So, like, I know that she knows that Joey is, at the very least, like, sweating her. Like, I know she knows that. So when she says, 100%. Like, if you like her, you can't like me. It's like, say goodbye.
Boom.
You know, like, and so then they go to the, and Joey, as you said before, like, he says, like, there's more questions I could have asked, which, good for Joey. He's listening.
But then you get to the rose ceremony, he still keeps them both.
Right. So that's how we end the show. He keeps them both, which I'm so happy about. I'm happy they're both here. Like,
I want this drama to continue. I like watching this.
Right. And I think the longer Maria's here, the more enemies she will find. I think she's going to be, because it does feel like she has a genuine connection with Joey. I don't think Sydney does as much. I mean,
no.
A connection in the we, like Joey, when Joey says she keeps me on my toes, that's Joey going, I get a boner when I see her.
Yeah, she's
that
hot.
Let me translate that for any of the ladies here who want to know, what does he mean? Oh, she keeps me on my toes. I get fucking hard every time she walks up. I have to catch my breath a little. I am fucking into her. That's what he's saying. So,
yeah.
Big dog Joey gonna eat. And I can smell a big dog.
Gotta eat. Gotta eat.
You know I know a big dog when I see a big dog. And that's Joey every time Maria comes up. So. I added a new segment.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
Fantasy Suite Hometown Final Rose. Who do you take to the Fantasy Suite? Who do you take to the hometown? Who do you take to the Final Rose?
All right. So Actually, you go first.
I'll do mine first. My fantasy suite. There is a woman who got eliminated last night who's so hot, and then she has not said half a word. She made it three episodes. That girl's star. She was the hot dog and ketchup or hot dog and mustard team.
Yes.
They kept showing her. I was like, I don't think she spoke to Joey once.
I've never seen her before. Like every time she's on screen, I'm like, who is that?
Every time, to the point where I was calling her a ghost. I called her Ghost Hottie because I was like, maybe she's a figment of my imagination. It just feels like she was like haunting the house and like only showed up. So I have her as my fantasy suite. My hometown is Maria. I got to meet her dad. I got to meet, you know.
Have to.
The craziness that goes on in her house. And then Final Rose, I got Rachel. Just seems cool. Just seems like so easy.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm doing fantasy suite, Lexi. No, Maria. Sorry, okay. Maria. I feel like she, you know, she'd be great for a fantasy suite. I'm doing hometown, Rachel.
Okay.
And then.
Get to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. And then I think it's between Kelsey or Daisy for Final Rose. And I think I'm going to go Kelsey. I don't know.
Okay.
I think she's normal and fun and also obviously gorgeous. I think those are my three.
Who do you give the first impression rose to?
I think Daisy would get my first impression rose.
She does give a good first impression.
She's just very chill and she's always like smiling and laughing and she seems like she would get along with anyone.
Right. I gave it to Askin. It was nice to see them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy the Askin ladies were back. Even though they were dressed like they were going to a wedding for some reason. Who is your villain of the week?
Delusion. I feel like all of these girls are just like delusional in all of their time here with the fighting and who thinks they're closest to Joey. I think everyone's just a little confused.
Well, I mean, maybe they're like a little bit starry-eyed from Joey. Like, I think Joey has to do with that too.
That's him. It's a lot of him.
My villain of the week, bullies. Just bullies. Like,
I
don't know.
We heard.
The word bully on this show, it annoys me. It annoys me how much people play up their own bullying when it's like, it's a real issue. I'm not saying it's not a real issue, but like,
no.
It's more of a real issue for others than it was most people who talk about it, is my opinion on it.
I agree.
Future in Paradise. Who do you see in Paradise?
I think Evelyn's going to be great in Paradise. I'm
I agree.
I'm happy that she's done crying. She can go live peacefully. Send her to Paradise. She needs love, but I feel like she would thrive there.
We got to talk to Bachelor Data to see if Evelyn has the most tears per minute on screen.
Right. Definitely because between her and Ashley I.
There's no question. I had Krissa in Paradise because Krissa got eliminated with Evelyn. Krissa did a lot of she was very much the narrator. She was very much like you could tell the producers liked her. I was a huge Krissa fan. She had some curves. I was into her look.
I remember you mentioning her earlier on the season. Maybe it was the first episode. You liked Krissa.
Krissa's my type. She spoke to me early, and we got like as much as the producers could give us because she never really talked to Joey.
No.
She did not
talk to Joey at all.
You could tell she seemed fun. She kind of had that vibe of like,
yeah.
Like the friend in the group who all the girls tell you is like, oh, Krissa's hilarious.
Yeah,
and you're like, but she never talks.
Yeah. She's just around.
So I see her in Paradise just based on how much love she got from the producers. Cringe Harrison Award winner.
I mean, the Cringe Harrison has to be Sydney describing the situation to Joey. We saw two completely different things. I mean, the word she was using.
Right.
That was insane, actually.
Yeah, I guess to add on to that, mine would be Sydney talking to the group after the group date and then saying, I'm going to get up.
Do you guys want to come with me?
No one goes. Also, her cheer at the cheer was so bad. And
oh,
to not
the cheer.
Here's the thing. You have to eat it afterwards. You have to go, wow. Like, if Sydney, here's why I don't believe Sydney's in touch with realities. There's no her going, ugh, that was embarrassing. Like, no. She's just like, I did it. I did my pageant. Yeah, slayed it.
Slayed it. Like, she's sitting in that seat proud of herself, and we're all like, babe, what was that?
Right. Will you accept this rose? Who won the week?
We both have the same thing, Joey. I think he's just the best.
He gets it. You know, he's a dreamboat. He's sensitive. He's
total dreamboat.
Emotionally intelligent. He's good at tennis. He's really got it all. It's I don't know. He should do The Bachelor every year. I don't know how this thing ends up, but like.
He's it.
If Joey ends up single at the end by no fault of his own, he will be the most eligible bachelor in the world.
Yes. 100%.
That is my...
He will have to close down his DMs.
Yes. I don't know how he ever leaves the house. He will be Tyler Cameron level...
100%. Beloved.
Yeah, if he makes it through. I don't know what happens. If he makes it through unscathed without fucking up, which is hard to do for a guy.
Hard to do. Real hard to do.
So that's it for us. That's the episode.
Yes, we'll be back next week. It looks like we're getting a 2-on-1.
And we're getting two episodes. There's a Monday and there's a Monday episode and a Tuesday episode.
Okay.
So you're going to get a double dose of us. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's it. We love a 2-on-1.
We love a 2-on-1. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor. You can follow me at K York City. And Jared, what's going on this week?
I am off this weekend and then I'm doing a big show. I know. I might go to Boca and hang out with my parents. And then I'm doing a big show in New York City. On the 17th, it's at Town Hall, and the early show, there's tickets available for both shows. Like, the early show, I think there's some, like, single seats. The late show, there's tickets available. I want everyone to come. It's a New York City show, 7 to 9:30, Town Hall, big theater. I'm hoping the second show isn't just me and a bunch of ushers, so... it's going to be a great time. All the feedback I've gotten has been pretty unbelievable to the new material, which is very cool. And then the Boston shows, there's like very few tickets available. So if you're hearing this now and you want to come to the Boston show, I would get the tickets now. Chicago, same deal. Toronto, I added a second show. That second one is, there's tickets available. So I'm encouraging you to bring your friends and come. And then if you go to my website, jaredfree.com, I added Columbus and I added Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh, the tickets come out Friday. Love Pittsburgh. So that's it.
All right. See you guys next week.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Samantha Bush, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Samantha Bush. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.